On my left, I have the very recognisable face of the Shanice Hussein for Catherine Burnham. And the obituary just kicked off, so, and I think all of you have to dash in and dash out. So I think this is your slot, Andy, absolutely. So thank you so much for coming to join us, because I know you're on a massively heavy demand, to say the least, and the next few weeks are going to be, you know, crucial in what, you know, we were just talking about it being a tipping point for the NHS. So, you know, over to you, really.
Thanks, everybody, for coming. Sorry to be a bit late getting to you, and sorry not to be able to stay so long, but I think you're absolutely right, to be honest. The NHS is in a very powerless position, isn't it, right now? And that much is obvious to anybody who watches or reads the news. And I would say it's a product of things that we warned them about. You know, the analysis that we've made over the course of this Parliament, I think, has been shown to be correct. That if you reorganise when actually you need to give the service stability instead, then that will have a consequence, and it has. If you cut support in the community, walk-in centres, NHS Direct, if you cut access to GPs, it will have a consequence, and it has. If you cut social care to the bone, in the end, the crisis that you create in social care will drag down the rest of the NHS. And I think that is actually being played out right before us right now. I think, you know, you could cite a whole number of reasons for the pressure in A&E. But the root cause, I would say, if you, you know, go around the hospitals as I've been doing in recent weeks, it is that sense that the system just is no longer working, that there are just not places to move people through in nursing homes, residential homes, or indeed adequate support in their own home. And, you know, that sadly is the reality that we are now looking at. A record number of older people, very frail people, vulnerable people, trapped in acute hospitals. We did an FOI before Christmas which asked trusts to list the longest length of stay that they'd had, and a shock to all of us, we brought back one case of a lady who'd been in an acute hospital bed for a year, an entire year. I mean, if that is not a symbol of a system that is fundamentally now broken and dysfunctional, then I honestly don't know what is. And so I think concern, public concern, is rising. And, you know, when it comes to this whole election, people are saying, well, oh, you know, Labour wants to put the NHS top and the Tories want to put the deficit top or immigration top, whatever the analysis that comes to. I would say it's not the public are putting it top. The public are now saying, if you look at the most recent polls in respect of what is the most important issue to people, there was a poll yesterday that 50% of people now said that the NHS is the single most important issue to them. And the reason why it's crept up and up over the last 4 or 5 years is as the mismanagement of the NHS has become more and more evident. The things that we warned them about earlier in this Parliament, as they have come through and come to pass, so public concern about the NHS and its future has risen to the point where now it's at the very top of people's concerns. So you know the analysis. You've heard me make it before. The question is, what do we do? I mean, how do we make sense of this? And how do we then build a campaign around it to make sure people out there understand that there is an alternative, there is a different future for the NHS? So we really will start this week. We're launching our public health policy on Thursday, and I can give people kind of a flavour of that. Next week we will then publish a mental health results of the Mental Health Task Force, which Ed commissioned, building to the 27th of this month, when we will put out a 10-year plan for health and care. And I think, rather than kind of going into all the details of all three now, I think I'll just give you the kind of the main planks of that, so that you can see what we'll be doing. I think the really important thing for me to say at this point is that we're going to do something that oppositions haven't traditionally done, and certainly that I can remember the Labour Party doing in the back to the election, and that is set out real detail about how we go from where we are to plotting a course to a sustainable service for the future. If I remember back to pre-1997 days, when people in this room were around those days, it was nowhere near, it was much more high-level pledge card and all of that. Well, we're not going to do that this time. I think the challenge we've got is to give people who are currently working in the NHS, who are feeling pretty demoralised, who actually don't just see a kind of tunnel, if you like, in terms of their daily pressures, working flat out, and not having a sense that the NHS is heading anywhere other than down at the moment. I want to give them something that can give them hope that this thing can be turned around. And that is about producing a plan that has detail, that answers the specific questions that they will have, and is credible, and is actually, you know, a credible plan to make the NHS what we would all want it to be. So let me walk you through the planks of it. Obviously, it starts with repeal of the Lansley Act. That is essential because at the moment the service is still on a path towards fragmentation, and it is still confused about who's in charge. You know, we have no clarity, no clear lines of accountability. We have the situation where is it the Secretary of State, is it NHS England? The system is in a mess. It's drifting, actually, and it partly explains why it's in the situation it is today. So we start with repeal, and we remove all of that architecture of the market and competition. You've probably heard me say this publicly in the last few days, but I'll say it again tonight so no one's in any doubt. The market is not the answer to 21st century health and care. This experimentation with the market, with privatisation, that, yes, went on in the days in our government, but has gone on a whole new level under this government, I think in the end it will destroy everything that's precious about the NHS, and will lead to financially unsustainable services. It doesn't provide the answer to 21st century care, given its complexity and given the fact that we're in a century where there'll be rising demand and then rising costs as a result of that. So we'll very clearly build this system on the basis of collaboration and on the basis of integration, as opposed to competition or markets. Now, you know, that I think is an argument that I've been making over a long time. It's not easy words in opposition. You know, people might like to claim it is, but it's not. You will remember that I changed health policy back in 2009 from any willing provider to NHS preferred provider, and you know, that is because I'm not neutral about the public NHS. I believe in it, I believe in what it represents, and in fact I think we need to build that on that principle if we're going to give people the care that they want in the 21st century. That if you look at what's happened to adult social care as the market's ripped through it, would anybody in this country say that it's improved standards of care and adult social care? I don't think anybody would say that it has. You know, it's not to say there's no role for others. There is a role for the voluntary sector, and at the margins there'll be a role for the private sector. There always has been. And of course the NHS will continue to need to use that other existing capacity. But the crucial difference is here, that should be in a supporting role, never a replacement role, in my view, and should be used on an as and when basis, never mandated. So we've had very clear advice that we can legislate to repeal the Lansley Bill and fully to insulate the NHS from EU procurement and competition law. Now, let nobody tell you otherwise. We've had it from the Commission direct that it is entirely within the gift of national governments, using the designation set out in the Lisbon Treaty, to exempt, to make their own decision about exempting health services from those provisions, and that is exactly what we will do. And so we build from there. We then, of course, set a journey towards integration of health and care, working towards a single budget for health and care. We start to develop a year of care tariff, moving away from the activity based tariff, so that we start to incentivise supporting people in their own home, and we start to build in my view, what a 21st century service should all be about, where it is based around people in their own home, and it builds out from there. And for me, that is the only answer to what we're seeing unfolding in the NHS right now. It's becoming dysfunctional because hospitals can't move people through. And I think the answer to this question is to give hospitals and other health service organisations the ability to control the whole of the patient journey from home to hospital and back again, so that the service can start to function again. Now, a word on the money. We have made this commitment to £2.5 billion extra for the NHS in the next Parliament, principally funded by a Mansions tax. And I think Labour should be absolutely confident in saying why we're doing that. The NHS will need more money. If you go into the election with the public spending plans that the government have got, it is a nailed-on certainty that the NHS will be in a full-blown crisis. But it is almost there now, but it will just be in a full-blown crisis in the next Parliament. So we are saying that we will bring this new money in. Ed Balls said the money will start to flow immediately. And that is money that goes into building this process of integration, of helping bring in the workforce to support integrated care delivery, rethinking how the system works, and being clear that the way to do that, the way to get extra money to the NHS, is to find new ways of paying for it, i.e. by those who can afford to, rather than do what this current government have done, which is basically raid other government departments to so-called protect the NHS. Well, that has utterly failed. If anybody's in any doubt about that, I think the last few weeks have cleared it up, haven't they? That approach to saying that you can just basically decimate local government and other public services and therefore supposedly protect the NHS, well, I'm afraid you can't. In the end, that is a false economy, and it comes back to rebound on the NHS as is happening now. So it's right to have a Mansions tax because it's not doing it by we're not paying for the extra for the NHS by raiding other government departments. We're not doing it by adding to borrowing, which again would be the wrong message to send out at this particular moment in time. We're not doing it by asking everybody to pay. We're doing it by saying there are people who can afford to do it, who are in properties where the tax hasn't been rebounded since the council tax came in the early 90s, where people in massively expensive properties are paying the same tax as those in much more modest properties. This is, in my view, the right thing to do, and this is what this election needs to be about, a principled choice about how we're going to put the extra funds into the NHS to give it a chance of coming through the very serious crisis that it faces. So we're going to lay all of this out, Joss, in a week or 2 weeks today, in fact. It's going to be a 10-year plan. I think, I hope it's going to be a vision that everybody in this room can say, well, that's something we can unite around. That represents a plan that actually does move the NHS forward. And more than that, it expands the NHS vision for the 21st century, because it's then an NHS for the whole person. An NHS that can look after all of one person's needs, that can give people a single point of contact for the coordination of all of mum or dad's care, that treats staff who work in social care, aims to treat them as well as staff who work in healthcare, where we can get rid of the 0 hours contracts, where we can squeeze out these employees who won't even pay the minimum wage because there isn't time between the 15-minute visits. You know, for me, this is, I hope you'll feel too, a Labour vision for how things should be. Because I'm really clear that we cannot carry on sending out the message as a society that looking after someone else's mum, dad, brother, sister is the lowest form of work, lower than the minimum wage.